Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, so very near the beginning of the gospel story. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival had ended and they started to return, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning's scripture reading is an interesting piece of Jesus' life story. It's the only account we have in the whole Bible of Jesus as a child. The Gospel of Matthew, just like the Gospel of Luke, tells some details about Jesus' birth, but then it fast forwards quickly to him as an adult. The Gospels of Mark and John just begin their stories with a full-grown Jesus from the start. It's only the Gospel of Luke and only this story that provide us with any details of Jesus' growing up years. Now, there are, you may know, a few other Gospels that were written centuries later that were floating around. There was one that actually told a number of stories of Jesus as a child, but they seem quite suspicious and don't fit with the Jesus that we meet in the pages of Scripture. That other gospel tells, for instance, a story of Jesus being bored and so fashioning some birds out of clay and then breathing on them for his entertainment so they fly off alive. Or when a bully says something mean to him, he curses that child, and the child turns into a corpse immediately. There's a story in there about Jesus playing with a friend, and they're on the roof, and the young boy falls off the roof and dies. And neighbors accuse Jesus of having pushed the child off, and so Jesus resurrects the boy so that he can tell everyone that it was not Jesus who pushed him off. All of these stories and the entire gospel they come from present a twisted view of Jesus, a much more self-interested account of his life and a self-interested version of the Christian faith that ignores our call to community, our call to be a part of all of God's creation. This story, this childhood story from the Gospel of Luke, is different than those others. And it serves a very different and important purpose in the Gospel of Luke. It grounds Jesus' identity within the larger story of the Old Testament, the history of the Hebrew people. Notice how traditionally Jewish Jesus' family and his own beginnings sound in this story. Every year, Mary and Joseph travel with him to Jerusalem, not just for sightseeing, but specifically for the Passover celebration. And then something really important happens when Jesus turns 12 years old, the traditional age in Jewish customs to become an adult in the community of faith. And what do we see Jesus doing here in Jerusalem? He is engaged in learning and teaching specifically about the Old Testament. He's learning from the leaders, learning from the teachers of the law. He's asking them questions, picking their brains, and then he's reflecting on this truth. I once visited a museum, and the tour guide began the tour with these words: "A people without a sense of their history are like a tree with no roots." A people without a sense of their history are like a tree with no roots. And we don't need a master gardener to explain to us what happens to a tree that loses its roots. This story from Scripture shows us loud and clear that Jesus is firmly rooted in the ancient story of God's covenant love revealed through the history of the Hebrew people. He's not something so new that the old is abandoned. Rather, he takes that old, old ancient story and carries it forward to the new chapter. Continuity with what has gone before. And in doing so, this story about Jesus teaches us a thing or two about how to approach our own history, our own heritage, our own traditions. Not to be, on the one hand, enslaved by the past, bound by outdated understandings of who God is and what God is doing in the world through Jesus Christ, but neither, on the other hand, to ignore our heritage or to waste the witness of the generations who have gone before us, who have shaped us into the people of faith we are today. It's a delicate balance walking between these two extremes. A wise theologian once said that tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism, he said, is the dead faith of the living. Tradition is the living faith of the dead, the witness of those who've gone before us that inspires us still today. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living, a stagnant view that's unwilling to see what God is still up to. I think today, with all that's going on in our worship and community life this morning, today is a perfect encapsulation of the ways that this church family tries to walk that delicate balance. Today's the Kirkin of the Tartans. We are literally surrounded by the traditions of our church. And today is Rally Day, where we launch and kick off our fall church school programming, where we gather in fellowship and mission and all the ways that our congregation goes out into the world and within the walls of this church teaches the next generation so that they can be the ones to lead us into the future. This balance of Kirkin and Rally, I think, is in many ways what Jesus is doing here in the text. He doesn't say, who cares about those old fogies in the temple? But neither does he say, we need to sit here for the rest of our lives and only learn what has happened in the past. The great cloud of witnesses, the book of Hebrews says, are wonderful, important people who surround us, not only so we can remember them, but also so that we can be inspired by them to live our life of faith in the present. As it says, to run with perseverance the race that is set before us in our own day and age. There's a lot that this text teaches us about memory, about hope, about how to engage with what has gone before and how to follow what God is doing in days to come. But let's be honest, this is also a bit of a tricky text for some of us who have ever been parents or had parents. Jesus gets left, lost, forgotten. Come on, Mary and Joseph. This is the Son of God, and you left him? It took a day before you realized he wasn't in that caravan. Many of us know and love that great movie, Home Alone, starring Macaulay Culkin. Not as lovable was the sequel, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Not as good as the first one. It is funny. It's got some good points. Thank you. This could have been the prequel, Home Alone, Lost in Jerusalem. But as it turns out, Jesus explains he's home all along. He's right where he's supposed to be. It's not Jesus who is lost in this story. It's his parents. It's his family who have missed the big picture of what's really going on by focusing only on their immediate context. We got to get home as fast as we can. Back to Nazareth. Jesus isn't lost at all. He was right where he needed to be. In dialogue with the heritage, the history, the tradition of the faith, with the great cloud of witnesses who had gone before him, he was at home in the temple all along. We get lost on our own journeys as well, don't we? We get so self-absorbed, only paying attention to where we're going, that we forget where we've come from. We forget what God has been up to throughout the generations in the covenant community of faith. We forget. And we get lost. At the end of our service today, led by a bagpipe, we'll join together in singing that great hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. We who were lost to our own sin, we who were lost in our own self-absorbed way of life, we who were lost in our forgetfulness of the past, the good news of the gospel is that we have been found. By God's amazing grace, we have been found by the story of faith passed on through the generations. We have been found by the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. Those who thought they had lost him for 3 days arrived to find an empty tomb. Arrived to find that death did not have the final word. Arrived to find that we have been found. To God alone be the glory, now and forever. Amen.